Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hashtag no music, no intro, a June 1st episode of the hashtag Saints Twitter podcast coming at you. And we got quite a few things to talk about on this episode. We're going to kind of dive into OTA observations for week two. OTAs wrap up, I believe they wrap up tomorrow. And then there's another little period of OTAs, and then there's a mandatory mini camp like mid June, and then it's nothing, bro. Like, it's from like mid June to training camp, there's just crickets. So we're gonna talk about OTAs. Saints signed Jesse James, tight end. They signed a fullback, kind of getting that. Got quite a bit to talk about on this show, and we wanted to follow up with, you know, what we spoke about, what we talked about last Friday. Happy Pride Month to everyone. But I kind of want to start where we ended the last show, being that the last show did kind of go long and not everyone listens to a whole podcast all the way through. I didn't want it to be buried of, you know, what Ryan and I have, you know, have been able to accomplish this season in our podcast / our business, being actual like season ticket holders for this upcoming season for the Saints, 2023-2024 football season. Can't tell if that was a firework or a gun outside. Hey, wow.
I ducked in my house, nigga.
I don't even live in the hood like that. Anyway, looking outside the window, like, fireworks. Good to know. Don't know why fireworks are popping off on June 1st for whatever reason, but I know if there's any war veterans in this apartment complex. Or animals. Anyway, sorry, folks. This is what happens in a lot of fucking podcasts. You know, the fact that we are season ticket holders, the fact that this upcoming season we will raffle off a. Bro, tell me why my cat came up here. It was like, Dad, what the fuck going on out there, bro?
My cat do the same thing, bro.
He just walked in like, oh, you gonna do something about this? The fact that we're gonna raffle off a season ticket to each home game this upcoming season, I didn't want that to get lost. But at the end of the day, last week's episode, like, that wasn't the goal, but that's a big thing. And you know, Ryan and I had to kind of, you know, come together and figure out exactly what we want or what the criteria is going to be to, you know, for each week for someone to enter the raffle. But I wanted to lead with that because for us, you know, that is a big accomplishment. And like I said last week, man, I'm not saying that we are the only podcast or whatever type of entity like this that is able to say that they're able to do that for their listeners. But I can probably confidently say that I know if we're not the only ones, I know that there's not a huge number of podcasts that do this for our listeners. So the tickets are all loaded up, including preseason games. So it's something that we are definitely looking forward to do for all our listeners and just, you know, the token of just saying thank you as a way to expand, getting more listeners, getting more views, getting more Patreons, all that. So just definitely wanted to kind of put that on the forefront. And then I'm going to turn it to you, because obviously after the whole John Gruden thing happened, we spoke about it last week and what have you. It was mentioned during one of the Dennis Allen pressers after OTA practice. Shout out to our girl, Catherine Terrell, who's been on the podcast multiple times, at least two times off the top of my head, who asked the question of kind of, you know, if there's anyone in the Saints media that's going to ask like a hard hitting question, catch a person.
Yeah.
Cat got you. What were your thoughts to Dennis Allen's response and kind of like this overall in like the articles that kind of came out and like he was like helping like with the actual like offense, like that make your side like not from the standpoint of he shouldn't have been in the building at all, but just like kind of like what huh? Did it confuse you a little bit? Like, I want to know what you thought about it.
Well, my first thought was like, what's going on here? Like, was he brought in to actually like pick his brain, help with the offense, help with the install with Derek Carr, or you know, was this like Greg Rosenthal? He theorized that it was just a solid, like John Gruden trying to dip his toe back into the league. You know, maybe made a contact. Maybe through Sean Payton, like, hey, you know, can I come visit, make a little visit? I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know if that's true or not. Because it was kind of done in secret. I don't know who leaked it out. Like, it was leaked, if it was purposely leaked by the team, or if it was leaked by, you know, just a source to Jeff Duncan. There's so many things, like a real good, like, investigative reporter. Like, as much as, like, Mike Florio gets on my nerves, like, I would love, like, a Saints Mike Florio to, like, really just be up at 2 a.m. drinking coffee, like, trying to figure out what's going on here.
Because Mike will dig, bro. Like, he annoying as shit, but Mike gonna dig.
Mike gonna dig, bro. But it's like, I don't know, man. And then, you know, DA's response is just like, oh, you know, this is about football, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was the expected response you get from him. But, you know, like, for me, I just would have, like, I wouldn't expect it from him, but I would like, you know, the head coach to be like, look, you know, look, this was about football. We're trying to help our team. But, look, I understand that, you know, at least have some semblance of understanding of why some, which they are. Like, we've been contacted. You've been contacted. I've been contacted by plenty of people that didn't feel comfortable about that. You know what I'm saying? That didn't like that. Saints fans, people that love the Saints, they love rooting for the Saints, that didn't feel comfortable about that. I would have liked to see a head coach, a leader of the team, at least acknowledge it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
We know you don't give a shit. We know. Like, we know you don't care. But at least acknowledge that. That's just my thing. You know what I'm saying? But just don't act like, oh, this is about football. Like,
come on. And I said it last week, man, is they're in this weird juxtaposition where it's like, okay, we don't care because we don't do whatever we want to anyway, right? And let's be honest and fair about this situation, right? That has really been the mentality of the Saints since Sean Payton became the head coach, right?
No question.
Right. It was a very we're going to do things our way. Love us or hate us, but this is how we're going to run shit. And winning, and this is sports in general, right? Winning cures a lot of shit, right? So the arrogance and the bravado and like, we're going to do whatever we do about the salary cap and have, you know, critics, you know, wondering how we're able to pull off the stuff that we pull off. That was in place and became implemented as part of the Saints DNA, largely because of Sean Payton and kind of just his personality, right? And so now that he's gone and he's left, that still kind of mentality of, okay, we're still going to do what we want to do, even though it morally may not be a good thing, even though we may be alienating parts of our fan base last offseason with Deshaun Watson, this season with anyone of the LGBTQI community by bringing in John Gruden. However, again, it's about winning, right? To me, this showed that Dennis Allen and the Saints organization as a whole feel so much pressure to win this year. I'm not saying this in terms of a justification of it being right, because it's still like it's June 1st, bro. Like it's Pride Month. Like how you gonna do that? Like weeks before Pride Month, right? Like I did it last week. I'm not gonna go on a tangent. It's just so bothersome. I'm just so like I don't know, bro. Like it's just like and it's not even for me. It's not even the standpoint of for them, like, I don't even think they even, it was not a thought of in their mind when they made that call or they reached out to them. And that's right. Part of the problem. But the pressure on the team as a whole is at some high levels, man. And when I say that, you know, sometimes on the podcast, I'll throw a little nugget out here and there. You know, if you listen hard enough, but I think the Hunter Renfro potential trade or whatever, or if there, you know, if a trade does happen, I do get a sense that that is maybe the momentum behind that maybe picking up, you know, over the next couple of days. It is June 1st. So there's, you know, now's the time you can, you know, players can be cut and they have that June 1st relief and teams get cap relief. Same thing with trades. So I do think that Hunter Renfro thing that kind of everyone's kind of talking about quietly and what have you, I think that's a legit possibility within maybe the next couple of days. We briefly touched on the new Hopkins thing last episode and kind of just in passing, but I don't want to put a percentage on it, but I will say that if there's a way where Buffalo and Kansas City cannot figure out a cap gymnastics move to be able to afford Nuke Hopkins, I don't think it's completely outlandish to say that the Saints would be interested in him. And I think that interest may be potentially reciprocated, right? So to me as a fan, potential moves or things like that signify we got to fucking win now. Like right. Now. Well, like we can sell our soul and they were willing to do it last season with Deshaun Watson. And we're willing to have that stank on us and able to do that. And that becomes a whole different topic and situation of it in entirety, but they need and have to win this season. If they don't, there's going to be a lot of fucking questions and there has to be some type of answers and some type of changes made in the organization.
I mean, because honestly, bro, like, they couldn't ask for things to go their way anymore. You look at the schedule, I mean, look, it's hard to predict the schedule, but just on paper, hashtag on paper, they have an easy schedule. They're not facing many top 10 quarterbacks.
Bro, that schedule is cake, bro. Like, we went through the schedule breakdown, and I was like, Yeah, these niggas gotta win like 10 or 11 games, bro. Like, that shit.
Got to.
Cake, bro.
Got to. But then you just think about where they're coming from last year, just offensively. I mean, you could only go up, right? Like, you have your Derek Carr.
You got to, bro.
You got to, bro. So if it's like still stale with Derek Carr, with the added weapons, with Olave in the second year, Raheem Shaheed in the second year, you know, say they get Michael Thomas back healthy. If it's still like mid to mediocre to bad, heads gotta roll. Like, heads have to roll. That has to come down from the top. So I know they have to feel that pressure. And they put the pressure on themselves. I don't know if they were sent, there were like a message, like an implicit message was sent to them, like, you gotta make it happen. Or if they're kind of putting the pressure on themselves, like, man, we gotta make it happen. But it's pressure, bro. It's pressure. And like, it's lined up for them, man. Like, it is lined up for them to, like, to succeed. But I mean, we'll see, bro. I keep coming back to coaching. I'll be looking at the roster.
Coaching, bro.
I'll be like, man, but can they coach these dudes?
Can they coach though?
Pete, man. Like, man, all eyes on Pete Carmichael. I know we talk about DA.
Thought this nigga's about to, I mean, I know Tupac getting his Hollywood star. I thought this nigga was breaking out some Tupac on the pod.
Oh, man. Pete is about Pete Carmichael, bro. Like, what can you do?
So here's my offensive philosophy question for you, because some of it 100% is on Pete, right? We were talking about this, or y'all were talking, I was busy as shit as work today, but I kind of saw some of the conversation. You know, y'all were kind of bringing up in the Discord again today of how astonishing the lack of motion was utilized last season. So yeah. even if you have the mandate from the head coach to have a kind of semi-conservative offense, like, you can have a semi-conservative offense and still be creative or try to like scheme some shit open, bro. Like,
right.
Exactly. But I guess,
like, Sean Payton had a conservative offense in 2006 with the Saints. Like, it was a conservative, yes, kind of milquetoast offense, but it was a good offense.
Yes.
2021 with Jameis started. You know, very.
Yes, it was.
Very, yep. You know, just kind of triple down offense. But you still had that creativity there. So it's like, it's not saying that you have to kind of have all these freaky plays and all this stuff. But, man, you got to bring something in today's NFL.
Something,
you
bro.
Got to bring something to the table.
You see what Ben Johnson doing. You see what Andy Reid doing. You see what Nick Sirianni doing in Philadelphia. Doug Peterson Zoom interview doing in Jacksonville, bro. Like, did you watch the game that they played against the Chargers on that fourth down play that they called to, like,
oh man.
Something, bro. You got to bring something to the table. But I guess the question I was going to ask, it goes back to, is it on, how much is on Pete Carmichael in terms of just better play calling or more creative things like motion, etc.? And how much is on DA for potentially telling the offensive coordinator, this is the game plan I want to run, kind of stick to it, don't take too many chances, blah, 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 blah. I guess that my bigger question is at what point, and I kind of lean more to DA, at this point, you got Derek Carr. He has, like, well, the advanced metrics or next-gen stats. He was a top 10 deep passer in the league last season. You gotta spread those legs open a little bit, bro. You gotta spread them, bro. You gotta open it up.
Spread them open, man. And it's like, I mean, you know, that goes back to trying to figure out how organization runs and all that. I don't know, but it's like, if DA is not giving that directive, like, Pete, he gotta force the issue.
But that's, man, right, you know Pete ain't forcing shit, no, bro. Like,
yeah, and on the flip side, like, DA, he has to push Pete. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has to push Pete to, like, man, we need some offense, bro. Like, ain't no way, because, like, DA, you can't be that dumb to go and look at last year's, analytics, offensive analytics.
And they like, that they didn't retain their analytics guy. I wanted to get that in before I forgot it.
He gone.
Man, you said in the Discord he was probably bored as shit, bro.
Bro, I write reports for a living, bro. Like one of the annoyances in my job is, like, I could come up with these, like, super fire reports, you know, with predictive analysis and stuff like that, but people don't want them. Like, the departments, they're like, look, just give me my Excel spreadsheet, you know, that I've been getting for 20 years.
Right.
That's all I want. And that's just how it is, you know?
Okay, I'm going to make an analogy for you, and maybe you've never encountered this with Bree. But when I tell you it's legitimately in a relationship, it is legitimately one of my pet peeves. Like one of my biggest pet peeves is if your partner asks you your opinion on something, right? It could be which outfit you think looks best, mm-hmm. like which pair of shoes, whatever it is, right? And you go, you know what, babe? You know, I think you should go with that one. I think this one looks good or whatever. And they do the absolute exact opposite of what you suggested.
I think every man has been through this where it's like,
and it's like, then why the fuck are you asking what I think? That's how I'm pretty sure the analytics guy was, right? He had the numbers. DA is asking him, and said, hey, I don't even know what the fuck his name is. Hey, should we go for it? It's fourth down. Fourth is caught close, like, but do you think you go for it? And like, he pulls up the analytics and he's like, yeah, coach, yeah, Dennis, go for it. The analytics is this. And he, and then he sees the fucking punt team, bro. That was his life 18 weeks, 17 weeks last season, bro.
Yeah, like, man, I'm gonna go with my gut on this one, bro.
and that's coming from two people who are not super like, go for it on fourth down, like. Brandon Staley does is just idiotic, bro. Like, it's just dumb. But, like, anyway, sorry. I just wanted to get that little note in because I know it was reported this week. But, anyhow, sorry. But, like, to your point, going back to Pete and DA and everything.
Yeah, but it's just like, you know, we don't know where it's coming from. But, like, the buck stops with DA. He needs to push Pete to, like, get this offense running, bro. Like, get this offense running to the point where it needs to run. This Pete Carmichael been a offensive coordinator longer than DA been a defensive coordinator. You know what I'm saying? Like, Pete is stamped. You've been running with the big dogs for a long time, bro. So it's like, what's the issue here? You know, is it in him or not?
At this point, besides... And I think this is a big one, right? Besides offensive line and the health of the offensive line, the Saints organization as a whole, front office, has given the offense every reason for them to be successful this upcoming season. Right. You got
a
top 15 to 16, maybe he goes on a heater from time to time and he gets like top 11 to 12-ish quarterback in the league. You have two very, very young, explosive route receivers. You may have maybe 60, 70, 80% of Michael Thomas for the season. You have Juwan Johnson brought back. You have... I always want to say Fabian Monroe. That was a player in the NFL. I'm not tripping. Foster Monroe, assuming his cancer stays not bad. I don't want to talk about that. Anyway, you got Taysom on offense, who we don't really know what Taysom is in this offense. They just signed Jesse James, who is like a solid tight end 3 or 4. AK. You got Jamal Williams. Like, it is set up for this offense. An interesting conversation would be, and it's really hard to do because the Saints offenses at their peak always just had Drew and the quarterback is such a, right. like, head and shoulders above, like, kind of end all be all. But if we just really thought for like the from 2006 to now of where this Saints team ranked talent wise, I'd be very interested to see where we rank them. Just based strictly on talent, offense, defense, I would be bro. Right. It's an interesting question. Like offense has to produce, and if not, something got to change. Like I don't know if you got to send Pete on asylum and let Ronald Curry get in there and call some plays.
Let Curry cook a little bit. Let's see what you got, bro. I mean,
something. Let's. And I just, like, I want to go back to the whole Jesse James thing, right? Oh, even let's go back to me kind of listing off all the players offensively. They have all that. They have like a depth guy in Bryan Edwards. They are trying to maybe add Hunter Renfro or potentially might be able to get, and I don't know how feasible it is, but I think both parties are interested, potentially able to add new confidence to the offense. Like, and this is why the whole John Gruden thing, like, just annoyed the shit out of me so much, Ryan, because it's like, you guys are doing so good. So good!
The Renfro thing would be great because it would take so much pressure off the Mike Thomas
situation. Oh, so much, bro.
You know, I mean, just get healthy, bro. Do what you got to do to get healthy. And when you come back, we cooking, man. Like, can we talk about what I mentioned earlier to you? Tre'Quan Smith is
not... You don't talk about it, Ryan. Talk about it.
Let me say this again. Tre'Quan Smith chose to skip voluntary OTAs. That tells me everything I need to know about a player. I don't need to know nothing else. And look, I know it's voluntary, and it is voluntary. And if he might have his better workouts to do, whatever. But you fight for your life. R. Kelly, fight for my life right now.
You are in a wide receiver room that is crowded as fuck, bro. Like,
and OTAs is where, like, the veterans can shine. Like, you've been in the system for a long time. You come in there and just shine and look better than everybody.
You know the playbook. You know where to line up. Although, you know, maybe Tre'Quan still don't know how to line up, bro. Maybe still lifting his leg.
I think about that. Maybe I'm wrong, you know. But, like, bro, come on now, bro. Like, that just tells me, like you really ain't, you ain't there. You ain't there.
I was about to say, you ain't about shit. That's what I was... Nigga ain't about shit, Ryan.
Get him out of my... Get him off the team, bro. Let's get him off.
Please. Please. And you know, it would not shock me in the least if he doesn't make... Like, even if he, like, doesn't get cut, man, you know Sean Payton might throw us a 6 or 7 for Tre'Quan ass, bro.
I'll take a 2025-6. You know?
Get him. You said it perfectly, man. It just shows so, you know, I don't want to make it be like, oh, if you don't show up like it, but it shows something, bro. Like, it does show something. So let's get into OTAs. It's, you know, they're winding down. Like, week two is almost over in terms of OTAs. What, you know, obviously, again, Ryan and I are not credentialed. You're probably not going to be credentialed anytime soon or ever. So we can only essentially kind of talk about what other people have put in their observations, whether that's a John Hendricks. That's, you know, that's who I usually are reading my observations through. Sometimes I know Ryan sometimes will read observations through New Orleans Football. So from these recent OTAs from this week, anything that caught your eye?
Man, it was tough because, like, the Saints didn't give the media, like, a ton of time to watch. I guess what stood out, some things that I just took note of, who was there. Like they did miss some guys, but for the most part, you know, you had Tyrann Mathieu there. You had Marcus May, which was a change from last year. You know, Cam Jordan there, like 13 year, just like he had every reason not to be there, but he's there. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
Helping with the young guys, the depth of the coaching staff. How, you know, I mean, just looking, just seeing videos and clips of Derek Carr, it's like, okay, this is a veteran quarterback. It's like, it's like just seeing him is like, okay, this, you know, the guy knows what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? And that's not saying that Jameis didn't last year. He was a veteran too. But Carr has kind of a quality about him where it's just like, okay,
I don't want to make it, he's not the next Drew Brees, but he does bring a sense of calm to the offense. Right. It's the best way I could probably explain it.
And you see the little clips or the little pictures of him talking with Chris Olave after, you know, mm-hmm. on some routes, or talking to Shaheed, or talking to Juwan Johnson. It's like, that's what you want to see. You want to see that loudness of a loud quarterback, you know, learning to direct the offense, because this is the install. Like you talked to DA, said this is football 101 time of those offseason. Like they're just learning how to run base offense, base defense, and stuff like that. And just to see Derek Carr there doing that, performing, from what I've read, you know, he's, you know, targeting all his passes, a lot of short stuff and stuff like that. It's just good to have that going on, man. It's just like you feel like, I know, like, from the national media standpoint, they're like, Derek Carr, like, snooze fest. They don't know what we've been through.
Man, Derek Carr gets shit on around the league, bro.
Oh, bro, the national media just does not like him. And, I get it to a certain extent, because it's just like, you know, he doesn't really have, like, any, you know, there's not much pop to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it.
But I don't know, man. Maybe I made way too many assumptions by watching like one half. Like, so I watched the first half that the Raiders played against the Chargers week one after the Saints assigned him on, you know, NFL pass, game pass, whatever. Yeah. Bro, I watched one half of the Raiders offense and I was like, I'm good, bro. Like, we went through Trevor Siemian, Jameis, Taysom, Ian Book, Andy Dalton, bro. Like,
that's what I'm saying, man.
Good, bro. I was good. did not need to see any more, Ryan.
I'm good, man. Like, y'all understand? Like, oh, he's not elite. Like, okay, he's not. But man. Like, what I've seen the past 2 years, I've seen enough.
I've seen enough, bro. The old Sean Payton, bro. I've seen enough.
Yeah, man. So, just, you know, it was just good to see that, you know, from training camp. It's good to see, you know, the health of players. Chris Olave, healthy. He's got bigger. He's up to, like, 192 pounds now. Trying to be more physical.
He needs it, man.
He needs it. He's gained a little weight, still smooth. He's, probably moving better than he was last year, because he's coming off of ACL last year, which was nuts. Like, he just came off
ACL. Did I forget that? Was he coming off ACL last year?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, shit, like, that's right. He was
on the shelf the whole training camp. Like, he was like, who is this guy? And he just came in making plays. So, like,
man, there's some OTA buzz about Shaheed, bro. There's
a lot of buzz. He making plays, bro. Like, it's all on him. It'd be up to him how good he wants to be. Like, it's not like a huge drop off between Chris Olave and Shaheed.
Nigga putting hot takes on the podcast right now.
It's not a huge drop off. You know what I'm saying? Like, Olave would catch more, but you might see Shaheed on a highlight reel more, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's a fair analogy. I think that's a fair analogy, man. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So now the Saints, you got these two guys, and potential Mike Thomas, is potential Renfro, you know, Juwan Johnson. You know, then you got Foster Moreau just back there chilling, cats just chilling, you're out. They call it benign. Cancer just benign, man.
Man said the only malignant thing he knows is about on the field, bro. Oh,
and bro, we going to the running backs.
We going to hell in a handbasket, nigga. Just.
God. I already know, bro. We ain't even get to the running backs, bro.
I haven't even touched him, bro.
Alvin Kamara, bro, most slept on running back in the league right now. I know you don't listen to like national NFL podcasts anymore. I listen to him, bro, and like people doing like top 10 running back. Alvin Kamara, no way.
Like he doesn't even exist.
Doesn't even exist, bro. And it's
to be fair, like the last couple of seasons,
bruh,
the play calling, the injuries, the bad offensive line, run blocking, like it's been
two touchdowns last year. Like
how, nigga? How? Oh, getting back to Pete.
Offense.
Can we use this motherfucker in the passing game, please?
I can't remember the play. I don't know if it was around the league or Danger, but one of the podcasts, they was talking about Christian McCaffrey, number one running back in the league. You know, because he got traded to Shanahan, and he showed what he could really do. I was like, man, like if you would have sent Kamara to Trent Shanahan, it would have been probably the same, like out better.
Oh, right.
You know, it would have been that same area of production. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's what you got right there. The Saints
use not even
that.
Using it, bro. Not even using it.
It's driving me crazy, man.
Bro, it's like you have you able to you know get lucky and get a like a real freak, bro, just real just nasty. Mm-hmm. And you want to go home every night and you just okay with missionary with the lights off. Like no, bro, like bring out some toys and some explore, bro. Like I need Pete to explore.
Put the camera on you.
Shit, you got that got the tripod. I'm just saying, Ryan. Like, it's criminal. It's criminal, bro.
It's really criminal. And I'm to that point with my Saints fandom, where you know, like, okay, I'm kind of, you know, Super Bowl, blah blah blah, whatever. I just want to see like the players I like succeed. And
that's it, bro. Like, succeed, have some big play. Like, I miss AK big plays. I miss them, bro.
Miss them, man. Miss them.
Two things I wanted to that I noticed in kind of reading John Hendricks's observations. Well, actually, this has been a trend in terms of the OTA's observations the last 2 weeks. And maybe we talked about it, and maybe I'm not remembering, but Peyton Turner in the base defense is can't be a starting defensive end, bro. But you got Big Creep out there.
Big Creep, baby.
As in base, as starting DE, bro.
Yeah,
I get it. It's OTAs, but it's also not lost on me of how telling that is.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw how the season ended. So,
yep.
It's just a continuance, and it's up to pay. The Saints staff would love nothing but Peyton Turner to show up and force his way into being a starting defensive end. They would love it. He has to do it. It's up to him.
Yeah.
He's not being given no more passes.
None, bro. None at all, Ryan. Not a single one. And I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it, but you know, John Hendricks did kind of have an observation that from time to time, you know, when they went to nickel, Alante Taylor went to the slot.
Yeah. Interesting.
Come on. Come on. At this point, I am a component of get all your best coverage corners on the field. So I know. Don't bax me, bro. Paulson Adebo had a down season. You know, I was told that it was really probably underreported of how injured he was last season. Right.
Yeah.
And it's hard enough playing cornerback in the NFL, period, as it is the hardest position in sports, and me and you agree with that, and no one could ever convince me otherwise. But playing that position and like having being hurt, like your ankle is it like man, nah, bro. So I'm giving him a mulligan for a sophomore season. So, you know, if he could even get back to where he was his rookie season on game day, having him, a healthy Lattimore, Alante Taylor, I don't want to see Bradley Roby, bro. Don't want to see him. Don't need it. Don't need it. But having those three out there and just haven't figured it out, and if it's one of those things where it becomes like a matchup thing, right? Like, to me, if I was a DC or a defensive head coach, I am assigning my cornerbacks, as long as I know that at least one of them, or you know, one or two of them can go into the slot, you know, interchangeably, I'm doing it based off matchups, bro. Like, we've seen Marshawn, if he's following or traveling with the right receiver, if that receiver goes into the slot, he plays the slot, right? We've seen it. So I don't want to see, I know Brad, you know, the last report at the practice they were at, Bradley Roby wasn't at the OTA practice or whatever. I need those three to be the starting cornerbacks on the field. And the only reason that shouldn't happen is unless one of them is injured. That simple, bro.
Straight up. And look, you know, Alante Taylor being in the slide, that's good coaching, because you got to learn every spot. He needs to learn left, right, slot. Probably need to play a little safety. Like, you got to learn all the spots. We'll see where it ends up. But, you know, ideally, you want to see him be in the perimeter cornerback that could potentially move around if he needs to.
Yes.
And, man, his swag is on 100. He wearing the number one. I watched the interview he did on New Orleans football. Dude is, like, super confident. Talked about how Marshawn Lattimore coaches him up a lot, bro. Like, which is good to hear. Like,
yeah, it is.
Lattimore is one of the dudes you just kind of go with the flow, just chilling. Now, Lattimore coached him up game day, be on text with him, film study, all that stuff. Alante Taylor, his mind state, he wants to be like Gold Jacket.
Right. That's what
he does. So I love it. Like, I ain't saying you're going to get it, but if you're thinking like that, that's what I want to hear. Like, I want that type of confidence out of my cornerbacks. You know, and this was a day where Jabari Greer got inducted to the, you know, Saints Hall of Fame.
Love to see it.
And I was just watching this video, and it got me thinking, because he talked about when he got signed, he was so apprehensive because of the history of Saints defensive backs.
Man, ain't that some shit, bro?
Ain't that some shit? Like, cause the Saints, bro. Like, even when the Saints had good defenses, they had shitty.
Oh boy,
they never had great corners.
Nah, bro. Nah, you used the right fucking adjective, bro. It was rough.
And you know, Jabari Greer's like, man, these people told him like, man, it's time for you to change, and he did.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com. for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He laid the groundwork for like a new generation of, you know, Saints DBs
to be. Man, he really did. And I said in the Discord, and I stand by it, is that, you know, he signed the year they made their Super Bowl run and won the Super Bowl. Yeah. And I said that season he was a top three to top five at worst cornerback in the league. And
you were shutting him down, bro.
Like it wasn't Darrell Reeves-esque, but like it was like maybe a tier, like he was erasing wide receiver ones completely from games, Ryan. It was insane how good he was that season.
Insane. He missed a couple of games, got injured, but then he came back for the playoffs, Brian. You didn't hear a peep.
Nothing.
You wouldn't even know he played because he was just taking this guy out and wasn't targeted.
Man, just made me reminisce a little bit, bro. Just a little, little reminisce, like, that was a fucking year. That shit was 13 years ago, bro. 13, 14 years ago.
Damn.
Getting old, bro. Anything else? Like, I want to go back to the whole Jesse James thing and just say, like, it's such a good, like, little, like, low-key move. Oh, like, just depth and just...
I've been a fan of him a long time.
A long time, Ryan. Like, you guys are doing so many on quote-unquote hashtag on paper good moves. Like, can y'all just, for one offseason, can y'all just stay away from the fucking the tomfoolery? Just the
please.
Just stay away from it. Like, just stop. Please, bro.
Like, I forgot they got James Washington. I forgot. I was like, oh, yeah,
they got... Bruh, you know what? Until you just said it, completely had left my mind. And that was one of my draft bays, bro. Like, that's how deep the wide receiver room is. And Traquan, like, you know what?
Traquan, like, man, no. I'm going to chill at the house, man.
I don't think I will.
Pete wasn't there either. Like, ain't just Pete, boy, if you don't get your ass spinning, boy.
Pete said, you know, Pete already peeing early, bro. He said, you already know what it is.
You already know what's up.
Trying to just, you know, see anything else that just may have kind of caught my eye or anything like that. No, I mean, that's it. It is. I one of the things that I'm going to harp on this entire, you know, ramp up to training camp and throughout training camp is about which I'm going to have an eye super focused on the offensive line and the health and where it's such to me is such a huge thing.
Huge, bro. Trevor Penning, I've saw videos. He's not doing much. He's kind of standing back there. He's not in the boot or nothing, but he's just kind of standing back, just watching, man. So all eyes on him for training camp, man. Like where he is with his health. Is he able to maintain his health? How good is he? Is he good? Can he play? Can he start? We don't even know if he can start yet, bro.
We don't, bro.
There's so many questions with him that we just won't know until like months from now. What else? Jari Evans, he's coaching with Doug Rome. It's kind of cool. What else? Looking at some of these notes. Jake Henner. Every time I see him, he just looks good, man. Like, I know, like, we going to clown them pictures forever, bro. Like, those pictures will forever
immortalized, bro. Immortalized.
But, man, brother, dude can play, man. Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's just we won't fight. Well, we'll see. Maybe in preseason. maybe that's Jake Haner's season. You know what I'm saying? Maybe Jameis and Jake Haner could really cook during the preseason, so that'll be interesting.
Here's something I'll ask you, and I also want to – I think this is maybe the only person on Twitter that was blocked, unblocked, reblocked, unblocked again, and got blocked a third time in John Singler, bro. Like, I but he wrote this article or whatever, and it was like the absolute most clickbaity fucking title of an article.
It's cool out here, man. Like, gotta get them clicks, baby.
Man, you talk, bro. We produce content. Like, who you talking to? I get it, bro. I'm in the game too. But like, the title of the article essentially insinuated like there have been talks between the sites.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, come on, John. You could throw a question mark on there and be like, could Jameis be a trade candidate? Question mark. Like, that would have completely changed it. But he's like, because when you read it, you're like, okay, oh shit, something cooking.
No, it's just complete speculation. Yeah, man,
cool. Come on, say, don't fall for the cheese, bro. Don't fall for the cheese.
R.I.P. Barry, but if he was still alive, bro, he would have copy pasted that shit. Word for word, title for title, bro.
Rest in peace, my dude, Barry, bro.
Going to hell, bro. Just going straight to hell. Trying to think if there's anything. I will say this, kind of getting back to the defense, and I don't know if it means anything in the grand scheme of things, because it probably doesn't. But, you know, they still do play, Zach Bond at that, you know, that weak, or the, no, yeah, it'd be like the weak linebacker position. Sounds like he made a good play that led to like an interception with good coverage. And can these niggas figure out how to utilize this man's skill set? Like, 20% of something, bro. I get it. The thing with Zach Bond, bruh, is like, I don't even get mad at him. I have no ill will in my body towards him, because he's not put in a position that is suited for his fucking skill set. Like, that's it's just, man. Like, just, you tell
this man. Find a role for the guy. Find a role for this guy.
That's not on special team. Like, again, getting back to the whole media thing, can someone in the media ask Dennis Allen to back Zach Bond this season? Like, if it was me, yeah. Hey, Dennis. I just wanted to, you know, Zach Bond, third round pick. You guys transitioned him to off ball linebacker as soon as he was drafted. Most of his time at Wisconsin, 89% of the time, he was a pass rusher, rushed the passer, got after it. Doesn't seem like that transition for him's worked for him as a pro. Is there anything that you guys may be able to do differently that can utilize his skill set to help the defense and maybe improve the pass rush?
Love to hear the answer. I don't know.
that was just off the top, Ryan. Just boom. Just want to know. I want to know, bro. Like, bro, you know what? If they don't even want to ask it, if they listen to this podcast, can someone in the media just clip that? Just clip it. Just clip it, bro. Just play it. I need to know, because as the jokes are funny, and you know the bonfire, and that's Joey's dude. Like, if he could just bring a little pass rush to the offense, or excuse me, to the defense that obviously desperately needs a little pass rush emphasis, and hopefully isn't super heavily reliant on rookies making an impact. Like, that helps the defense, and pass rush is going to be an issue this season. Hopefully not. It may pleasantly surprise us, but like, for all intents and purposes, like, unless the rookies come out with their hair on fire, it might be an ongoing issue all season. This man can help, can at least try it. It might not work, but try it.
And it's like, we've seen him, like, remember Bonfire? We've seen him, like, when the player's in front of him and he's attacking downhill, he could be a really, like, a monster. So, like, do whatever you got to do defensively to get him, even if it's not pass rushing, like, just lining up on the edge or whatever, but maybe some, you know, some stunts, some blitzes, some, you know, just some creativity.
Something.
Use that ability, even if it's just on third down or something, man. Like,
I would have him in the game. And it probably, like, defensively at some point, it probably doesn't work because there's ways where the offense could take advantage of it. But from time to time, a couple of times a game, if it's a pass rush situation, I'm putting him on the field and I'm telling him, your responsibility is to green dog blitz. Yeah. If you see the running back leaves the formation, goes out on a pass route, you go and sack that quarterback, bro. Just simple as that. Simple. Like, don't worry about the running back in coverage. I'll make sure a safety or another linebacker or a cornerback will cover him. You just go get him. That's it, bro. Like,
even like, not to just stay on the Zach Bond thing, but even if he's like they did Hassan Reddick, the Eagles, use him as a fifth rusher. Because what happens is either one, he gets lined up against tight end, which, you know, is a winnable matchup. Two, they use all five offensive linemen, which, you know, you get a one-on-one matchup for your other guys. You get a one-on-one matchup for Cam Newton, Jordan, and your defensive tackle or whoever. Like, it's a win. Like, I mean, obviously you can't do that every snap, but once, you know, third and eight, you could do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could do that and see what happens, man. Like, I got to see some more, bro. Like, you can't tell me you can't come up with nothing for this dude. But other than that, like, it's hard to, like, pull defensive, like, some defensive thoughts from the OTAs because they're not hitting.
Right. Yes.
Not doing anything.
Very simplistic.
Yeah, very simplistic. I guess I've heard some good things about the rookie, what's his name, Howden?
Jordan Howden.
Jordan Howden, yeah, it's kind of forgotten kid. Have heard good things about him. So, look, he's there. He's performing. We'll see where that ends up for him. It's good to see Isaiah Foskey just looking at him. He just looks like, bro, like, you would have told me, like, he was, like, already in the league. I'd have thought so because he just looked like a veteran just there.
Yeah, he looks like he just looks like he belongs, bro.
Look like he belongs, man. And Brian Breesy, I mean, look, until the pads come on, we don't know. But look, he's
man, healthy. I'm just glad that he's out there practicing, like, showing right, that he's healthy.
He's healthy. He's moving around. Look like he's ready to go. Like, I can't wait for training camp when the pads come on to see, you know, what kind of damage he could do, man. Because, like, this is probably the healthiest he's been in years.
Right.
You know, so with a clear mind, you know, not going through all the things he's been through. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that works. And just looking at the defense as a whole, when you look at all the people, I start to realize that, man, this is going to be like a back-to-front defense. Like, it's going to
absolutely.
It's going to start with the secondary, kind of like the Ravens were the last couple of years when they had a good secondary, where it's going to start there. They're going to mix it up. They're going to run every coverage you can think of. They're going to try to confuse quarterbacks. And they're hoping that's going to help the defensive line rather than the defensive line helping the secondary.
Right. Yes. Without question. You know, I agree on both those points in regards to Breesy, Foskey. You know, even thinking about it, you know, when we were kind of doing this little rundown for the offense and kind of going through each offensive player that they had. And I left him out because he just hasn't been on my forefront, and that he's not currently healthy right now. When we went through the running backs, they got Keandre Miller, bro. Like, Like,
just cooling.
Just that, this offense got to produce, man. It got to produce. It got to produce. So as we wrap up, this is the last question. This is the last question I'll ask you. We're approaching an hour. Nice, good, long episode. Really enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
If the Saints can't, and I know we did our predictions and in terms of the schedule. If the Saints can add to kind of close this offseason, a veteran pass rusher, not Frank Clark, and either Hunter Renfro or Nuke Hopkins, how many games should that Saints team win?
So you had Nuke and...
So you either Nuke or Renfro and a veteran pass rusher. Not Nuke and Renfro. Or.
So who's still out there as far as pass rusher? You got okay, Frank Clark.
Yannick Ngakoue, Leonard Floyd, Clowney, Justin Houston. I think that's kind of where the batch is right now.
Man, you had Clowney or Floyd or Ngakoue.
I would love Floyd. He doesn't fit.
Right.
He doesn't fit their profile per se, but in terms of just like production and just being a good pass rusher, he has everything you want as a pass rusher. Just in terms of what you would want to add to this defense, he checks right. All the boxes.
And you had Renfro too. I'm not even gonna go to Nuke. Just Renfro. Man, like, I mean, you talking about one of the more talented teams. If everybody's healthy, I ain't gonna say everybody. Say most of the starters are healthy. I mean, that's one of the more talented teams in NFC, bro.
It really is,
so,
bro.
So, like, if you can't win a, I ain't gonna say if you can't win 11. If you can't win 10, like, you should do 10 easily.
Yeah, man.
But really 11, like, really 11, 12.
If we talking straight up with those additions, and obviously we got, like, you know, health plays a factor, but so health plays a factor for, you know, everybody across the board. And I think, again, it goes back to offensive line. That team should win 11 or 12 games, bro. Like,
it really should.
If you add a Renfro and a Leonard Floyd and a Justin Houston, that Saints team got to win, bro. They have to win.
It'll be by far the best defense Derek Carr ever played with. By far.
Not even close. Even without those additions, it's the best defense.
Oh yeah, you're right, exactly.
But yes, yeah, without question. It'll be this month. I know it's gonna be that dead period after mandatory mini camp, but this could be a really interesting month, kind of just across the league in general, with it being June 1st. You know, I expect like a player like Dalvin Cook to potentially be cut from the Vikings. You know, there's going to be some free agency cuts, or not free agency, sorry, veteran cuts around the league. So there may be a player that becomes available. And it's rare that it's a player that's like, I was like, oh shit, was not expecting that. But it happens from time to time. We're like, oh shit. But be interesting to keep a lookout for things of what's going to happen these next couple of weeks, but was good to get on here, catch up, talk about Saints news, let you guys know what we're doing in regards to the podcast, where the business going, where the podcast is going, in terms of having season tickets that we're going to be raffling off each week that there's a home game for this upcoming season. I love it, man. I love it. You know, we have goals that we want to hit, we want to get to. And just as a quick reminder, if you are a Patreon and you know, maybe you haven't, you know, kind of put it like, you know, your Patreon, you kind of forgot about it. Just make sure you just go to Patreon from time to time. Just make sure you check your, make sure that the most updated payment card method or however you, you is all updated, because it causes, it's finicky from time to time when it goes to pull the first of the month. So if everyone could update that or just check, make sure your information is updated, that'd be great. You know, we don't super expect to get a lot of new Patreons, especially during what's considered the absolute dead season of football kind of approaching until training camp. But, you know, we are still going to be doing things throughout this time. You know, we have this huge Saints Twitter podcast brunch in Malibu next month in July, kind of this big West Coast meetup. Obviously, we're having our big podcast meetup in New Orleans in November for the Bears game, the West Coast meetup for the Rams game. We got 30 people coming. I mean, that's a whole that's a starting offense and defense, bro. 20 like whole section, just us. 10 each row, got 10 of us deep, bro. Deep.
Houston.
Oh, yep.
We're gonna be out there. Then you got like, bro, like, just the Discord be part. I can't wait for the Zooms this year, bro. It's actually an interesting season. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it is, man.
No, regardless of what happens, like, those first couple of weeks are going to be so fascinating, man. So I can't wait for the Zoom game day lives we do with everybody on there, just joking, laughing at all the ridiculousness. I'm looking forward to that, bro. Like, so if you're not a Patreon, you need to get on. There's no, like, a lot of Patreons, they have these scales. You do $5, $10 plans, $20 plans. With us, dollar or more. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you want to
pay
a dollar, you could join. $5, $10, whatever you feel your heart tells you to do.
Or whatever you can afford, whatever your budget is. Like, right? Like, we get it. Trust us. We get it. So, you know, don't feel that if you even just want $1 isn't something, because trust me, it is. And then, yeah, like Ryan just said, even with that dollar, you get access to the Discord, you get access to be able to do all these meetups and things with us, do the Zooms that we're going to do during the preseason, during the regular season. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. We really have big goals that, not only are we hoping to accomplish, that we feel confident that we're going to be able to reach and accomplish this season, and we're really excited about it. So thank everyone for listening. Again, happy Pride Month to everybody. We will be back next week. I mean, we will be back next week. What we'll be talking about, I don't know, but we'll be back. Thank you for the support. As always, we wouldn't be able to do this without all the support that we get from all the listeners, all our Patreons, everyone who retweets, who repost on TikTok, who you know, likes and does that promotion for us on Instagram. And I'm so proud of this community we've built, that because of this community, there are now other podcasts that are, you know, that are happening.
Spinoffs.
It's beautiful to see, man. So thank y'all for the support. As always, we appreciate y'all. We'll be back next week. And with that, we're out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.